is for September, October. And it all has to do with, or at least the term is kingdom. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of Christ, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing in the scripture, in your Bible. Now, I know what man has done with it. I know what natural Israel did with it. What did they do with it? They missed it. They missed it. What is the church world today doing with it? They are missing it. They are missing it. They are using words. They believe words. They build doctrines. And yet the one who is the substance of it, in their misguided minds, is yet to come. Someday, one day, maybe. The reality of that kingdom is Christ in you now. That's the reality of it, hon. And if we do not, by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth who is come, but for one reason, with one purpose, revealing the truth, and then teaching the truth, and then leading us into the truth. And how are we going to define the truth except when Jesus tells his own disciples, I am the truth. Yes, the way, the truth, the life. You can't take any one of those out of what he declared himself to be, sweetheart. Because that's exactly, but the point that so many miss is that he's in you. And it's disturbing in my heart. I mean, it's disturbing in my heart. Not about you, God love you. Not about you. Come on, folks. We're all one in him. And that's no cliche with me. That's the body of Jesus Christ. Anything that Christ died, went into the depth of burial, and came forth in the power of his resurrection, anything that came out from that, that was a result of what I've just said, his death, burial, resurrection, is extremely important and more than just important. So when I say we're all one, I'm pointing to that reality, death, burial, resurrection in Christ Jesus. And that one is not an insignificant thing. One body, all right. We've made the body insignificant in our own crooked understanding or in our own lack of any understanding. We've related it to the church. We well should, the church which is his body. But then we turn around and relate the church to a pile of doctrines. Not Bible doctrines about the Bible, primarily. Or a religious system. So we have reduced the whole thing on church, and then we kind of lose sight of the whole body, and we go back in our own minds to being a bunch of individuals trying to live for Jesus as much as we can, as good as we can, so that one day we'll all go to heaven, and then we'll all be in the same place. You're in the same place now. If you're not in Christ, you're still in the same place. You're in Adam. But if you be in Christ, you're certainly in the same place because the person of that place lives in you. I want to talk about the kingdom. But we can't disregard the kingdom in all of this. The kingdom is a result of it. The kingdom is a result. of this union that we have with Christ. The kingdom is a result of Christ being in you. You take him out of the picture, darling, there not only isn't a king, there isn't a kingdom, because the word kingdom, as we'll look at, the word kingdom is the word that means the rule, sovereign rule and reign. What you and I ought to think about today, and what has really had me under the table, I mean under the table up until and including today, do you and I, just as word definition, live in the kingdom? I know you're in Christ. Do we live in Christ? I mean in our own heart, in our own mind. Now, hon, I can sit up here, any other teacher that we have here, I'm sure, can sit up here and declare to you the fact of the matter. But at some point, darling angel, it's going to have to become something more than what most of us call a fact. It's going to have to be an active ministry of the Spirit of God, working truth. In my very soul, in my very mind, my heart. To where what I do, what I don't do, when I do it even, comes down to a lot of things. It is done at least as an expression of an understanding to some degree, that it's actually Christ who liveth in me, and my life is not something just dedicated to him. My Lord God, my life is nothing but him. It's him. Well, hon, life lives. Life lives. Life determines when natural life, natural, just old natural physical life, which comes and goes and faces death and all of that. But I'm trying to tell you something. Just in that lower range, life determines when I breathe, if I breathe, when I get up, if I get up. All of that's determined by, there's something active going on here. I'm not just sitting here with a knowledge of fact. Well, I'm a person. What do you do as a person? A dead one gets laid out in a box. But then you could say, I'm in the natural with you now, just natural language. You could say that a person, dead or not, if he's not a living, if he's not living, looks like he's dead, he ain't doing nothing. He's not breathing, you sure he's not dead? He's not walking, he's not doing this, he's not, hon, there's action to life on any level, and particularly when we're talking about what Janie was singing about, and that's where I sat down there and listened to it. Knowing Him, and she, the song mentions knowing Him as Jesus and relates that to His death, and then as Christ, and relates that to His resurrection, then as Lord. And relates that to the one who lives in us. He's not in there. He lives in us. his life either rules or it's not really his life. Maybe we just have a religious experience of some kind and we think that, well, me doing the best I can is the life. No, the life is Christ. So it began to hit me some time ago again and again and again concerning the true meaning of kingdom. And the thing that really got me was that Christ being Lord of Lord, King of Kings, and that Christ in me, again, I said it a while ago, I want to mention it again, because it doesn't work. Let me just say this. If we think he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so he takes control of my life, and he does this, and he does that. But you see, that'll break down. Because that's still him doing something to me or him having to take hold of me, which means I've got some kind of activity working in here other than Lord. Something I'm here doing something that he needs to say, quit doing. Or something along that line. Still dealing with me as having a life. Paul cuts all of that off time and time again. And one of my favorite places, yes, favorite places, is where he cuts that off dealing with 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I think that's about verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because here is the judgment by which we judge ourselves, by which we judge one another, by which we live day by day. Now, that's all right in that little thing. The judgment constraineth us. The judgment of his love. It constraineth us. In what way? I mean, how? By bringing us to an understanding. Verse 14 is all there. That when one died, we all died with him. That's what it said. And then why does he say that? I mean, then he goes on. He uses, like Paul does time and time again, and here's the way it, and here's why it must be have been that. Here's why that had to happen. He goes on and he says, so that we who live, that is, and you look at it in the scripture, the word there, the word life there means eternal life. So it means Christ. We who have Christ as our life should not live as unto ourselves. See, as though we had another life, but unto him. He not only died for us, who was raised up. And you can add that, who was raised up for us, because Paul is putting in very clear terms there what he says in every epistle. So I'm not adding anything to this. And where is he going with that? If any man be in Christ, that's where he's going with it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone. From where? They're not found in the new creation. They're not found in Christ. They're taken away. Who took them away? The one who came by the cross to take away the first, that he, in the power of his resurrection, may establish the second, which is himself. So it's all right there, hon, in the 5th chapter of just this little letter, 2 Corinthians. What I'm trying to say, whether I ever do get it said or not, my desire is that the Holy Spirit gets it said in my stupid heart and brings it out from the stupidity of the natural mind to an understanding of the reality of union with Christ. the reality of our salvation, and at least to come to an understanding in a definite way, a definition way, of what does kingdom mean. See, kingdom, let me see. Yeah. I wrote down here yesterday, because I'm looking at verses on the true kingdom of God, and we will read something on that in a minute. Now, I wrote here, the kingdom is what He, meaning Christ, the Son, kingdom is what He makes manifest. It's not what I make. No, it's Him. Because kingdom is His power, His authority, His rule, His reign. The rule, the reign, the power. That isn't my opinion. That is a true definition of the word kingdom. The kingdom of the King is the realm, but it's not a realm set up by man and then deciding to let the Lord have a place in it. No, the realm is that which the King Himself creates. It all comes into Him. On the realm of the true kingdom of God is in Christ Jesus. Any man be a new, he's a new creation. Where? In Christ Jesus. So the realm in Christ is not one that I've determined, that you've determined, or that any kind of religion has determined. No, it's something that Christ Himself has determined. In Christ, we meet Him as who He is. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to work that reality in our mind, in our heart. So let's give it another thought. Give it some thought as we go along. I've had to do that, and I'm sure you do too, most all of you, but do it again. What determines my priorities? My priorities. When it comes down to it, what really determines what I do? Probably down to how I do it or whatever. But what is it that does that? Is it my ambition concerning the thing? Just my desire to do it and get it done? Or is there something more to it that determines it? To where it's not me living my life and then one day, you know, on a certain day or certain times or doing certain things, then it's, you know, it's the Lord's life. I'm just saying, hon, do we in our walk with Him, are we, let me use just old vernacular here that we can all kind of get a hold of, but in our walk with the Lord, that we're consistently jumping in the kingdom and then back out of the kingdom? Well, you see, because at that point, we're looking at the kingdom as a place, but it's only a place if it's created by the rule of Christ. I mean, it's not a place that we can mark off and find dimensions of. And again, I'm telling you, because I thought about all of this, and then I know I'm going to share it with somebody, and so I come down to the point here, and I just put This is not just Him controlling my life. He and He alone, I must come to understand by the Holy. There must be an active work of the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, working in my heart. When? When not? He doesn't come and visit a while and then leave and He's gone. No, it's either Christ in me or it's not Christ, or it isn't Christ in me, because it's not Christ jumping in and out. That isn't it. It's not Christ going to come one day. He's either in me now or He's not in me at all. And we can preach that, make a fact out of it, and I think many times we do. All right, there's nothing wrong with preaching the reality and preaching the facts, but when are all of us, even who preach it, going to be swallowed up? I don't know a better way to say this, but going to be just swallowed up inwardly in the reality of what we preach. That it's a life, not a message, a life. A life. A life we now live in the flesh. Why? Because Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live in this life in the flesh. I live that by the understanding of who it is that's living in me. I'm not here living under the law, and I'm not here, listen to me, I'm not here living under the faith of the Son of God either. As it being a teacher, a taskmaster, or all of that, that the law was. No, he's saying that's not it. I am here in the understanding, in the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God working in me, the reality of who is living in me. It is Him. Living by faith is not living trying to be a good Christian. It's living in the reality. It's living in the knowing that Christ liveth in me. I love the way he put that. Liveth. It's not just a fact of Christianity. No, it's something he does now. Liveth. Christ liveth. Not I, but Christ liveth. And when he spoke to John, we all know this in the letter called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. When he spoke to John, he says, fear not, John, fear not. Put his hand upon him, raised him up. Fear not. I am he that liveth. Whoa. And in that he liveth, in another place, he liveth unto God. And yet in another place is, all through the Scriptures, in that he liveth in you, and he liveth in me. How do we miss the truth of that? To where it's not academically factual. Something we will gladly preach and teach and you know, hon, the gospel of that is certainly the living of that. Margaret Bishop sent me a letter here recently. Part of it was just for my birthday, but it only said birthday once and then went right into Christ. And I'm so glad that it did, because most of all the cards and stuff that I get from people, whether it's birthday or for any other reason, goes right into the reality of what we here in this place teach and preach and declare. That's the Christ. Margaret said something, and she had mentioned the kingdom because she'd been getting the CDs, and I've been talking about that on the monthly CDs. And she mentioned that as she said, "Happy birthday." And her mind was going to a birth that wasn't of my mother, because she said something, you know, how tremendous it is to be living, something along the line, to be living daily in Him, that He liveth in us. And then she went on and put down here the word gospel. And we all know that the word gospel, or we know it, you know, it means good news. But how do we translate that? And she really, I never looked at it this way before. Never had. Margaret saw Christ there in the word gospel. She said, "Well, I do too." Yeah, but she saw Christ there. And so she defines it, gospel. And it equals good. And then she puts N-E-W, good new. And then she puts an apostrophe there and an S. Good news. No, not again, having nothing to do with the news. No, that, because we've been talking, again, we've been talking about all things new in Christ. Well, that's what she was pointing to. Good news. All of the news. All of the news that are gathered up in the One who makes all of those things news, new, because He's the One of all those things. New joy, new peace, new this, new that, everything in Christ. All things new. New creation. Making all things new. How? Not changing old things to be new, but the new is come and He lives in you. The gospel is just that. The gospel is coming to understand the newness of all things. Good news. What did Jesus do? He came. He came to do that. I say, I'm going to have to stop here and look at this. You probably know, maybe you know where it is. But that's all right. If I don't read anything, don't worry about it. I'm looking for Hebrews. Hebrews. Okay, I think it's Hebrews 9. I think it's Hebrews 9. Let me see. Oh, yes. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ being, so we can take that as being now, being come, now come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Good news is concerning that which was promised and then fulfilled in Christ. all the good things that are in him come in him. You notice it's not another promise coming. How? Of good things. Good things that were to come. Good things that were promised to come. He is the high priest of those good things. They didn't come without him, because good things would just be, I don't know, what would it be? How would it ever be fulfilled? How would the promise of God with regard to Christ be fulfilled without the coming of Christ? How would that ever work? It wouldn't work. He has to come. And you look at this in all of this in chapter 9 brings him right up to standing in the presence of God, and we're there, our lives hidden with him in God. We're there in him. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. That is a new thing. That's a reality of Christ. Good new things. Good new things. The good news. There's a bunch of them. But they're all gathered up into him. And when we see him, we see everything that he is. We may not recognize it, but that's what we're looking at. Everything. See, hon, and you and I surely understand this and know this. Paul actually says it in Philippians 3. He talks about how that suffered the loss of the things that were once made gain to him, which was the whole religion of the Jews and all that he had in that religion and all that he represented there. It was the whole thing, part of which drove him into a lifestyle of killing Christians, putting them in jail and so forth. He says all this. But all of a sudden, then it was gone. Suffered the loss of it, the total loss of it. Why? Did Christ force him to do that? I mean, did Christ just become another law to him and say, don't kill another Christian? Don't do this, don't do that. Now, Paul says that it would, and you can read it there, in Philippians, he says, by the excellency of the knowledge. The excellency of the knowledge. By the inward knowing of Christ, the revealing of Christ. He uses that term. He hooks it up with what he said in Ephesians. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know. And that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of him. But here in Philippians, when he is showing the power of that, the power of it. I mean, it wasn't a lot of Christians that got him someplace and was arguing with him and finally got him, you know, to switch over to Christianity. Wasn't along those lines. What changed Paul was seeing Christ and hearing his voice at the same time. And finally, that became an inward working. It caught his attention on the road, no doubt about that. But then, when the Father revealed his Son in me, that I may preach him. The excellency of the knowledge hath made me free. The excellency of the knowledge. And he says there, I used to think when he said that in Philippians 3, because he uses the word for, indeed I have lost all things for Christ, or for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And I thought, well, that looks like it's saying that in order to come to the excellency of the knowledge, he must first give up everything else and then turn and say, okay, now I'm ready to know the Lord. But the word for there means, it's not like we think for. It means by the means of. So, I reckon all things slain, all things but dung. How? By the means of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, through coming to see the excellency that worked in me a loss of everything else, a death to everything else. That's what it means. I'm not telling you something that's not so. It is that work. Well, that is the power. There's another place in the scriptures that speaks about the word of his power. Man, that hit me one time. I'm not for sure what verse right now. I'm sorry, but I come up on it time and time again. The word of his power, speaking Christ being the word of his power. And I knew that meant more than I realized, but with this looking back, looking again at the word kingdom, which means power. I mean, the actual word means power. That he should, he told them in a place there in the scripture, in recorded, I believe it's in Mark, anyway, that there's some standing here that shall not die till they see the kingdom come in power. In power. My goodness. We could say the kingdom is what he makes it to be. The kingdom is everything that he makes it to be. How great, how strong, how utterly strong is that king. So much so, if he's out of the picture, or if he won't come into the picture, or if he is not there, there isn't any kingdom. See, we have to look beyond thinking that the kingdom itself is something that we can set up and look at. But the kingdom worketh in us, the power worketh in us in the seeing of him, in the appearing of him. I'm not talking about visions on a wall somewhere. I'm talking about when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, here's what he will do. Why will he do it? Because this is what is given to him to do. Well, what name does he come? He comes in my name. He will come in my name. He will open your eyes to see. He will take all that is me and everything bound up in that is mine. For all that the Father hath is mine. This is why I said he will take all that is mine and he will show it unto you. This is the work of the Spirit of God. Now, I know in Pentecost, I've been in Pentecost. Well, I have been born there in the literal, you know, and all of that. And I've seen a lot of what we call the power of God came crashing down and, you know, outward stuff that made people do outward things. Well, all right, whatever. But I had no concept. I had no concept of the power. I thought it was something I could feel, and I could go down the line with you. I shouldn't have to on most people, but nonetheless, it was not outward stuff that came and then was gone. I mean, when the service was over, the power was gone as well. And everything else. The piano set, and nobody was using it either. This kingdom does not come and go. This power does not come and go. He lives in you. But the power, hon, is in the knowing of Him. Because where's the change made? In my heart. A whole lot of things. I'm not talking about the organ that pumps blood here in the natural man. I'm talking about in my heart, in my mind, in my heart, where decisions are made, where values are determined, and on, where time and what to do with it, all of these things. And there is a transformation of the heart. And then there is out from that, finally, a transformation of the soul. So it gets to where the soul doesn't have to stop and say, now what would Jesus do? Oh, that would be an understanding in which we were living. Whether we were facing any dilemma at the time or any question or anything at the time, yet we're living in that understanding, not so much what would Jesus do, but in the understanding of who Jesus is and knowing Him. Oh, sweetheart, I'm last two or three days again, I've been overwhelmed in over there in that little place where I sat. I've been overwhelmed by a new realization of what power really is. Well, I'll tell you, it's not something that grabs me and says, straighten up here. Straighten up. Do this and do that. Don't do that. Not even go tell that person, go apologize. You say, what's wrong with any of that? I didn't say something was wrong with it. I said it wasn't the power of the kingdom working. It wasn't Christ. It should never have to been dealt with, should be dealt with in the knowing of Him. And I'm not trying to make this sound hard and mean and ugly. I'm just trying to get across something of what I'm talking about. And the little part of it here is that it's not enough for us to say, as a very fact, that He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and then add to that, and He is coming one day or someday to take me to be where He is. And we've just thrown out the whole thing there. I mean, the kingdom has not come. We don't have any idea when it's going to. We talk. And when people do that, they're looking at the kingdom as a system, a religious system, but one set up nonetheless. And maybe it's going to be better, and maybe it's going to have a real big city sitting in the center of it. And we look at that, and yet that hadn't had, you know, And we lose sight of what the whole letter of the revelation of Jesus Christ means. And I'm not for sure whether I've got it here. Well, looky here. I may have it. I don't know. Yes, I wrote it right here concerning Revelation 22:1-5, because I'm bringing that over into John 7, verse 37 and 39, verse John 7, verse 37, 39. I know a lot of you, you'll get your Bible out and get a hold of that. Okay, you read that. Then from there, I mean, it's the same thing I looked at, because I saw that as John set it forth. As John set it forth. Because, and I wrote here, this book, this at the time, that scroll, this book shows not only the Lord glorified, but the Lord in glory. And that brings us right to Revelation 22. And out from this, the Lord of glory, established in His creation, His city, you, me, and everything comes out from that rule of His throne. And it's in type and shadow even there of a reality. But it's a testimony even there of the knowledge of the power of knowing and of the water and then of the life and then of the tree. And it's Christ. And then of the name being upon the forehead, which is face to face. And that's here in our heart. And that's where our graving is done, by the finger of God through His Spirit. We need to quit looking at the book of Revelation as some kind of a fairy tale in the far and distant galaxy. We need to understand that is John presenting what in most of his language is so clear, presenting the one who is Alpha, Omega. But see, we look at that and we don't even know where to put that. I mean, just in Christian type theologies. But it brings that whole living well of water, living rivers of water that comes out from, and the King James says belly, it's translated as our soul, our most inward being. And what is that comes out? It's the river of living water, which is who? Christ, Himself, dwelling in you. Hon? We tend to be quick to share our doctrines. When the only thing that gives anybody life is life itself. And the water in there, it's the work of the Spirit working life in our heart and ministering Spirit, ministering life to those who will receive Him. It's not our overloading them with what church we attend, what doctrine we believe. It's sharing life. It's sharing life. Is there a sharing of life or religion? The power of the kingdom is the knowing of life, the knowledge of life. It's life working in you. It's life working in me. How does it work? He is there. See the thing, I can't determine, I can't make it so, I can't determine whether Christ is king or not. He's king whether I even believe in him or not. He's what he is. But I'm talking about this morning where he is. He's in you. He's in me. And it takes more than just having a fact on that or believing that as an academically spoken fact or even a religiously spoken or point to a scripture and quote the scripture and say, that's the truth. Believe it. Yeah, but life liveth. See, hon, it's got to have some activity of the Spirit. And the activity of the Spirit is to open our eyes to it, to take Him and reveal Him in me, in you. I'm not talking about some dream that you had. Now, come on, I'm not talking about something that isn't in addition to our salvation. No, it is not. I'm not. I'm telling you that if you're born from above, Christ is in you. If I'm born from above, Christ is in me, and I desperately, desperately need to know Him. That's why He's there. He isn't there to be a stranger. He isn't there to be an unknown. He's not there to be another pattern that one day will take place. That is not true. He is in me to be known. Have we ever really read the apostles, the epistles of the apostle? What Paul wrote. See, that's how he reigns. That's how he rules and that's how he reigns. It is given of the Spirit of the Lord. I'm going to do this same by the grace of the Lord, or not by the grace of the Lord, but just by the direction of the Lord. I want to do this in the monthly CD that's coming up. Now, I'll cover more material in the foundation of it and in reading it in the CDs. But I sit here and I'm talking to folks that are here and you out there, and I didn't feel like it, you know, took all of that much reading. And I know what was in my heart and is in my heart to say. But I'm not here preaching sermons to you, hon. It's a thing that the Lord is dealing. The kingdom of God does not come into operation here by me or you or a whole bunch of us getting together and establishing rules and regulate Christian rules and regulations and things that we as a group are to do and things we're not to do and when you can. No, we'll never set up the kingdom by doing that, because the kingdom is not a system. The kingdom, darling angel, whether I want to admit it or not, is the rule of the King. Let me read one thing to you, and then I think I'm finished, isn't I? I'm through, am I not, Jim? Five minutes? That's through enough. Let me read this to you. It is the Spirit's business to do that, and alongside of that, to instruct us. The Spirit's business is to open the eyes, to reveal what the natural mind cannot receive. All right? But it comes down to that, for I've written here. It is the Spirit's business to do that. And alongside of doing that within us, alongside of that, to instruct us, to teach us, to show us the meaning of the sovereignty of Christ. Not just say He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Knowing what sovereignty actually is. It hit me, man. It has you too, I'm sure, some of us. What sovereignty really is? It's one living in all who have life. And if He's not, you don't have life. Now that's power. I mean, there's no argument. He is who He is, and He's that in you. And the only way He is truly, actively made that unto you, it's got to be more than a fact. It's got to be something. Yes. But of God are you in Christ, who hath made Him unto us wisdom. Oh, what's that, a dead letter? Wisdom. What's that, a fact we read some? What? Wisdom? That has no motion to it. That has no work of the Spirit to it. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. We're not given here, and God didn't passion them out one day in heaven, academic rewards. We're talking about, see, we're talking about kingdom now. And kingdom's got to have a king. So you see, and there's the whole problem. He's not king because I honor Him as king. He's king whether I honor Him or not. But if He is not working in me as king, hon, I'm coming out on the short stick, not Him. So I just want us to understand it's the Spirit's business to do this. It's the Spirit's business. It's a big business. And you and I must seek to interpret everything in the light of that being the Spirit's business and what He does. The Spirit has come. And He has come as committed to a particular task. He has come as the Comforter indeed. But let me use another word. He has come as the custodian of a great and a very specific eternal divine purpose, purposed of God before the world was. And if the Holy Spirit is doing anything at all in this world, if it's really the Holy Spirit doing it. There's a lot being done in this world by men and women, and some saying we're doing it as a Christian. Well, okay, but if the Holy Spirit, because He's here according to eternal purpose, eternal plan, eternal Spirit, there since the beginning, if He's doing anything at all in this world, with men or women, with you or me, and in us, particularly and in us, let it be understood that His aim is to show, is to show
I wrote a word down to make. Then I come back and put to show, because it isn't something that he makes Christ, but that he shows him to be. God hath made that unto us. You know, not necessarily made Christ to be that. So I was trying to, how I wanted to say it. But the point is here, let it be understood that the aim of the Spirit of truth is to show Christ absolutely Lord in every single detail.
That the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, hon, fill up our mind. Fill up that there isn't something over here in the corner. That it's not something we think it is, hope it is, wish it was, but a reality of the knowledge, the power. Who is Christ? He is the Word of God's power. My. The Word. Why not? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, was God, same as in the beginning with God. Nothing created without Him that is not created by Him and for Him. Oh, honey, look at that again. Colossians. And then it just keeps hitting me. And He's in you. And He's in you. And He's in you. He's in you. Then I rolled back in my chair in there, spun around, and just said, oh God, I can't take this. I mean, I can't get it all together. He's in you, He's in you. And then the thought came in. The eternity can't hold Him. The universe can't hold Him. And He's in you. Now you think about that with me. King of kings, I'd say so. Lord of lords, yeah. But where are you going to stop that? You're going to put a corral around that and say, well, this is our doctrine. This is our belief. And he's king and he's Lord, whether you think he is or not. Well, okay, fine. But is that... King of kings, because His kingdom is in power. In power. In power. And yes, in truth, because the truth with God is power. The Word of His power. See, we think, and people think, and I'm wrapping up here. I'm through with this, but we think some dumb things, but we think, okay. I mean, even the world will do it. You know, if they'll agree that God created the heaven and the earth, if they'll even allow that, and they're not, you know, a disbelief in that it somehow or another came about. But even that, when they say, and He said, they're thinking of words. Not the Word by which He created everything of that whole creation. And over and above that, the greater power of that Word is He hath created by that same Word a new creation that has no death, that He is the light of, the glory of, and that is eternal. Now, we won't talk about kingdom. Sweet darling, there it is. It's eternal. And He's in you. And He's in me. Father, open the eyes of our understanding by Your eternal Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you that are with us by internet. May the Lord bless you. If there's anything we can do to help you, you please let us know. If you have the need to communicate with us, feel free to do that. Feel free to do that. Write a letter. Write a letter like Marcus wrote. Send me an email, phone call. We're all here. But if we can help you, let us know. And thank you so much for helping us to reach out, even as we're doing now. And thank you for helping us have that provision that we're able to function in that way, not only here in this room, but throughout the Lord's body and around the world. May the Lord bless you. Amen.